You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning. It's Wednesday, August 20th. I'm Catherine Lanfer, in for John Hockenberry. A new Cornell University study extols the virtues of eating locally for both you and the planet. Researchers at the University of North Carolina are looking into the public health benefits of a locally sustainable food system. And in San Francisco, they're gearing up for Slow Food Nation, a Labor Day celebration that aims to change how Americans produce and eat their food. Like never before, the palate has become political. Well, to find out more about that, we're going to turn now to best-selling cookbook author Mark Bittman. He's the creator and author of the popular New York Times weekly column The Minimalist and also the blog Bitten. And an updated version of his flagship book How to Cook Everything is being released for its 10th anniversary. Not to mention the vegetarian edition. Mark, good to have you here.
It's great to be here.
Okay, now you are a man that I know has been known to nuzzle a haunch of meat.
Yes.
So earlier this
that
year.
That continues.
You wrote a sort of manifesto telling people that eating less meat can actually be better for everyone. So what happened? What switch went off for you?
Well, my personal story is sort of different than the bigger story. But my personal story is that, some of my blood numbers went up and in ways that happened to people in their 50s. And an intelligent doctor suggested I might want to try eating a little bit less meat. Or actually, he said, you should become a vegan.
And
that,
okay.
I said to him.
That's a big difference. Yeah, that's a big difference.
I said
Mark.
To him, do you know what I do for a living? But so I developed this style of eating, which actually is quite strictly vegan from morning until night, and then at night I do whatever I want. And that seemed to work for me. I mean, all my blood numbers went in the right direction. I lost a lot of weight. I became, according to him, much healthier, et cetera, et cetera. But in the course of all of this, as you said, as you just said, eating is much more political than it's ever been before, or at least it's not really. We're just more aware of the political consequences. In the course of this year or so, there arrived on my desk this report from the Food and Agricultural Organization of the UN called Livestock's Long Shadow, which is a long, detailed report about the impact of industrial-raised animals on the environment. And one of the statistics in there, and I'm terrible at statistics, but this one I managed to remember, one of the statistics in there is that 18% of greenhouse gases are basically caused, directly traceable to the production of livestock. So that's second only in producing greenhouse gases, second only to energy production.
Wow.
And ahead of transportation. So I just sort of started to put two and two together. The personal thing, the so-called obesity epidemic, which is real, the environmental damage that I'd already known about, that results largely from raising corn and soy to feed to animals, to feed to us, and this global warming business, to put it succinctly. And I thought, this is really, I'm in a position to say some things about this. I'm in a position to actually have people listen to me. And this is, as far as I can tell, the truth is that we Americans and increasingly people in the rest of the world eat way too much meat, much more than is good for us personally and much more than is good for the planet at large. I mean, the planet is going to be here no matter what we do, but whether it's here in the shape we want it to be in or not is another question.
You know, it can get a little confusing if you're a consumer and you go out there and there are labels like organic and local and sustainable. So how do you help someone wend their way through that?
There's actually, I can help someone wend their way through that in one half of a sentence, which is what you eat is far more important than where it comes from. So it's nice if something is organic, and there are some studies, and they're increasingly convincing, that show that organic food is indeed more nutritious than conventionally raised food, and it's unquestionably better for the earth. So that's very nice. Local, it's fabulous. I mean, there's nothing better than a tomato you grew yourself, and the further away you get from your own garden, the less fabulous it's going to be. But it's unrealistic to say to people, let's eat locally. I mean, to feed the 20 million people in the metropolitan who are now living in the New York metropolitan area, in a climate that is in fact inhospitable to growing things for half the year is simply not realistic. Unless, you know, if people are willing to go back to eating carrots and turnips all winter long, we might have a shot.
I'm so happy to hear you say that.
What's the third thing? Organic?
Local sustainable.
Well, sustainable is obviously the way to go. And renewable and sustainable are not the same thing. And here the parallels between food and oil and every other resource you can name are phenomenal. And it's as if, you know, there are a lot of different ways to explain this. But let's say someone gives one of us the resources by which to live very well for 10 or 100 years, assuming we could live 100 years. Let's say that it's clear at some point along the line that we have to figure out how to live beyond this 10 or 100 years. We decide to spend this capital, which is what it is, in the course of 10 years. And in the ninth year, we start wondering what we're going to do to make it past the 10th year. The Earth gave us, through the course of history and through natural processes, gave us minerals, gave us oil, gave us land, gave us all of these things which are expendable resources. And those resources were being developed and were sitting there waiting to be exploited for tens of thousands, if not millions of years. We have exploited them very rapidly. Let's say the Industrial Revolution began 200 years ago. We could say 250 or 150, but whatever. During the course of that period, we have basically used up all of that capital, and it's only now that we're trying to figure out how to replenish it. Well, you can't really replenish oil, for example, and you can't really replenish soil. And the amount of soil that we have simply used up in what is arguably the greatest agricultural land in the world, the United States, is simply phenomenal. So now we have to figure out how to make this work.
Speaking
from
of
this
using
point forward.
Up, I am so sorry that we can't exploit you further, Mark Bittman. I hope we can have you back because we've run out of time.
Okay.
Mark Bittman, New York Times food writer and author of How to Cook Everything, How to Cook Everything Vegetarian. If you'd like to hear more of his public radio work, go to our website, thetakeaway.org.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers
and hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know,
wherever you get your podcasts.